Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank Arcuri.
And we're not coming to a theater near you, unlike Sick Mitts, starring Jack Eichel.
Yeah.
This is just... It was probably the weakest open I've ever had, and I don't care, because it was the strongest weekend of the Sabres that I could care about.
That is true.
Yes, I know. There was a 10-game winning streak, and there were weekends in that winning streak, and I know that, but guess what? None of them involved beating Boston. And you know what I like? Beating Boston.
I do like beating Boston.
Beating Boston makes me feel so much better about everything. You know what makes me feel much better about everything?
What?
An entire weekend when I see the Leafs lose, the Bruins lose, the Patriots lose, the Dolphins lose, the Cowboys lose. Man. And then, to add into it, the Bills and Sabres win.
Mm-hmm.
With their star young players at the forefront. Tell me how not to feel good about this weekend. I'll call you a liar.
I got nothing.
All right.
It was a pretty good weekend. And UB won.
And UB won again to stay undefeated. So go ahead and tell me. Tell me how it's supposed to be a bad weekend. Tell me how it's supposed to be something along the lines of, calm down. No, I'm not going to calm down. This was awesome. Are you going to say words or no, Frank?
You're taking the words right out of my mouth. It was a good weekend.
I'm blowing this whole thing up because Jack Eichel blew up everything.
He did.
9 points in 4 games, where the Sabres took 7 points out of 8. You won the games you were supposed to win.
Yes.
Though L.A. was scary.
You had to put another comeback in.
But maybe that's exactly what they needed to get off the schneid.
Yeah.
Was to have to go ahead and play their trademark comeback hockey.
Yeah, and you saw that they were able to take over a game against the Coyotes that they should have.
Like, that game wasn't even in doubt.
You felt good. You felt it. That they weren't going to let this one get away.
Yeah. And then, this weekend, what did we say going in? Get me 2 of the 4. Can I at least get a win on one of them? I don't want to have to go with 2 overtime losses, but if I have to, I'll take it.
Yeah.
But I want 2 out of the 4. What'd they do? Well,
3.
They went ahead and said, well, we see you that we're going to almost win against Washington, and then we are going to win against Boston. If I had a choice, I'm picking the one that doesn't involve Boston getting a 3-point game.
Regulation win, too.
Regulation win against Boston.
That's huge.
Shut them down. Good. Get out of my face. What's my problem with Boston? Oh, I don't know. They always seem to have a championship every year.
They're Boston.
Almost every year, it seems. So, good that you guys are finally starting to feel some sting of not winning all the time.
Sabres are now...
Buttholes. Can I say buttholes? I said it.
Sabres are now 7 points in the playoffs. And as of today, they are 2nd place in the Atlantic.
They're also 11 points over the first cut. So, like, the first team sitting outside of a wild card?
Yep.
They are 11 points up.
Yep. 7 points ahead of wild card 2. Who is Boston?
Yeah, still the Atlantic Division. But still, the big thing is, the most important thing is, the Sabres got themselves back on track.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw, all right, look, it's one thing to take care of your games. It's one thing to take care of the Coyotes and the Kings. Can you do it against good teams? And they did. I mean, that Washington game was stupid fun.
Yeah, stupid fun to watch. Really enjoyed it.
And it also proved something, that poor Matt Tennyson should not be in the NHL.
Well, don't worry.
He's just not ready for that.
Well, don't worry. He's not.
He's not anymore, but like it took one game in less than 6 minutes of ice time for him to be on the ice for all 3 Washington goals. The first one, not his fault. Not anyone's fault other than Carter Hutton.
Oh, yeah.
Dude came out behind the net, played it bad. Everything
it
bad.
It happens.
And then, but then... 2 bad giveaways by Tennyson helped Washington tie it each time. This weekend, the same problems stuck around, the same primary problem stuck around, but it was masked because of how good the top line is.
Yeah.
There is still a one-line team.
Oh, yeah.
You're not getting past the second round with a one-line team. You might sneak out a first-round win, but you're not getting into the Eastern Conference Finals with a one-line team. It's not happening. Well, a one-line team in solid goaltending, I should say. There's more to it than just that. But they're a one-line team. That's all it is. The only problem is that we're not complaining about it because...
they're winning games.
Just how good the one line is.
Yeah. Well, they're winning games.
They're winning games, too, but it's just how good the one line is.
I mean, I don't think it matters. I think it matters that how good they are. They're winning games. That's why no one's talking about it.
I know, but if, like, say, for example, they lost to Boston 5-4.
Then
you'd be like, okay, the defense was a bit of a problem. You got four goals from this team. They all came from Jack Eichel and his line, but... you got four goals.
You're talking. This line is this top line is amazing, but we're still not winning, so we got to fix stuff.
Yeah,
but they're winning games, so it doesn't matter.
The problem still lies, so we do have to address it. You know, I do want to try to address it a little bit, and a potential way to fix it, because an opportunity may have presented itself.
Yeah.
$3.85 million of cap space is hanging now in the balance on something.
Berglund.
Which, let's... like, that is such a weird situation.
It's obvious he's unhappy with his role on the team. That's
obvious. The latest from Elliot Friedman almost made it seem like he didn't want to come here. He didn't put in for his modified no-trade clause for, like, his list of teams by the time they needed it. So they were allowed to trade him away to anywhere. Mm-hmm. If Buffalo, for example, was supposed to be on that list, then he never would have wanted to come here in the first place.
He never would have been traded in the first place.
Exactly. But we remember Patrick Berglund being, all right, well, that was a necessary cap hit. He is a roster player, but it's like his main purpose in this trade is to be a cap hit so you can get a first and a solid prospect. Interesting how that works. Because now you might be able to get out of it entirely. And if the Sabres are able to get out of the cap hit, that's another win for a guy who's only giving you 4 points throughout the season.
And if they do, great. Good for them. I'm not really worried about that. I don't think it's something that you got to worry about.
I'm worried about it for the years going forward.
Well,
if there's a cap...
it's quite obvious now that if they don't get out of it this year, they're going to buy him out.
Yeah, but I don't want to buy out on my books for this.
It's
especially if it's a breach of contract.
Oh yeah, like that's the thing. There is a way out of the contract now, and that's great. But I'm saying is that should the situation prevent it come about where it doesn't happen, like let's say they can't, or something else, and you're stuck with Berglund's contract. There are still ways out of the contract, i.e. buy out or trade him. And in order to trade him, you're then, in that case, because of everything that's gone on, you're going to have to give something up to do it.
Probably. So thank you, Patrick Berglund, for making a muddy situation. But, for example, if it is a breach of contract and you can just void the contract, that means taking that $3.85 off of your books?
Yeah, yeah.
Buffalo can suddenly look to something here.
Yeah.
And they can go ahead and look at this free cap space and go, we could try to get a young center.
We could get a younger number two center to help bring
Mittelstadt along.
They can make a move then.
And that's the most interesting thing to me.
Well, it's not going to be right away until we know more of the situation and until the NHL knows more of the situation, till the team, obviously. And the PA, the NHLPA, too.
I'm excited to hear what Jason Bottrell has to say about this. I know he's not going to give like necessarily the inside scoop on it. But
no, he's not.
It's going to be interesting to hear what he says because he's supposed to be on tomorrow with Chopin Bulldog before the Sabres-Panthers game.
That's right.
Down at 716. That ought to be an interesting listen. But there's a chance now that you can look... and possibly get another piece for a team that is lacking some depth scoring. And if that is the way that the curtain opens, well, that's an awfully convenient way to have it happen.
Yeah.
The strangest thing, though, to me is in training camp, they were jokingly calling Patrik Berglund the Swedish godfather. What happened? Is he really that upset with his role and his minutes that he goes ahead and takes what was a strong camaraderie and just says, nah, I'm good.
I don't want to be part of it.
I don't want to be part of it anymore. Come on.
I think.
Come on. That is Charmin soft.
I think, if I had to guess, you obviously mentioned what Friedman said about being with that no trade clause and everything with the 10 teams, and Buffalo probably was on that list. And so he was unhappy with Connor Buffalo from the beginning, but I'll bet you he pondered it over the summer, talked to his new teammates, tried to give it a chance. And you saw it in training camp where, you know, teammates were calling him the Swedish godfather. He was trying to make most of the opportunity that was here.
And then he starts out on the second line.
But then his minutes started to diminish. His minutes started to diminish, and it steadily just made him unhappy.
Well, guess whose fault that is? You were starting out on the second line. You were not producing. So you got demoted to the fourth line. You know who handles that better? Literally anyone else. So, you know what? Good. Good riddance if that's going to be the case. Because you're not playing well, that's fine. I get that. You're a little down in the dumps on that sort of thing. But that means you just got to get up and earn the ice time. And when have we seen Patrik Berglund really do that?
He was playing well on the fourth line.
Yes,
that's about
that's
it.
Also subjective to the point.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Gjergensen is playing well for the fourth line. Is he getting minutes more?
Oh, yeah.
No? Johan Larsson? No? All right, then. Perfect.
Not until an injury happens.
Yeah, exactly. So guess what? We're not really seeing any changes there.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'm intrigued to see what they do, though, because Scott Wilson should be coming up soon enough.
Yes.
They have Remy Elie. They still have a full complement of forwards anyway.
Yeah.
But
if
maybe
Berglund does end up coming back, I doubt he will. But if there is a chance that he does come back, I think it's almost certain that he's going to get waived.
I was going to say you're definitely going to the press box there, or you're going to Rochester or something. Because
he definitely would get waived and sent to Rochester.
I mean, at this point, why bother coming back?
Yeah.
Allegedly lying to the team about being sick?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like I said, if he does come back, like something could change. We don't know. My guess is he's not coming back. Will the contract be voided later and the Sabres have that free money? We'll see. I'm not going to put any guarantee into it.
But it does remind me of several situations, though. Like of the past. Most recently, last year, Vadim Shipachev.
Yeah.
Deciding that he didn't want to get sent down to the minors.
Yep.
Did not report. Therefore, breach of contract. They decide to part ways mutually.
Yep.
The contract is off the books.
They terminated it. Yep.
And it was awarded that they would get off the books for it.
Yes.
Like no cap hit, nothing.
Yes.
So that's the kind of situation this looks like to me.
It does feel like it's heading towards that way.
Yes. And there are other names in the past with this. I just don't seem to remember them. I mean, hell, Rusty Klusla got traded here at the trade deadline for the Tank Sabres and just said, I'm just going to retire instead.
Yep.
So it's exactly that. And again, good riddance, because the team clearly doesn't need you with your whopping 4 points in 20-some-odd games.
Yeah.
If he was actually producing, I'd be a little worried.
Yeah.
But he's not. He's done nothing.
If he was producing, I don't think he would be doing this.
Yeah. He has 2 goals, 2 assists on the season. Vladimir Sobotka had 2 goals in 1 game against Montreal.
He did.
That's just like a litmus test for you.
That's a thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, you go ahead and tell me how I'm supposed to be missing you on this one. Frank, How mean is Jack Eichel?
He's just really good.
No, he's... Frank, you're not supposed to do such cruel things to human beings. You're not. It's not supposed to be something you do. But you're also allowed to because it's a game and you get paid to do that. Like, I can't ask how you sleep at night. You want to know how you sleep at night? Exactly that. Those are the things made of dreams. Except if you're a defender, that's a nightmare. That pass to Skinner in the Boston game. Get out of here with that. Wraps it around himself, both hands on the stick, all the way to the end of it.
Yep.
To flip it over to him and just, ew. It's so grossly awesome, and I don't know how to properly. I filled in for the morning show for Brayton, and I'm in with Howard and Jeremy, and Jeremy asked a question that a lot of people might be able to resonate with. How do you watch a team when one of the league's best players plays for your team? And I gave an answer that might be socially acceptable right now, Frank. You want to know what that is?
What was the answer?
What I told Jeremy was, do what I do. Just laugh your ass off because it's undeniably cruel what he's doing to other players in the National Hockey League.
Just do what I do. Just smile. I'm just happy.
Just be happy. There's nothing else I could do but laugh because it's like, what was that? Like, get out of here with this. That's not supposed to be something you do on the regular.
I mean,
and what is he doing on the regular? He's only sniping short side, glove side, where there's maybe a foot where you could fit that puck in consecutive games. He takes Slava Voynov for a walk. Might as well give him a pet on the head and a biscuit because.
Wait, not
Slava Voynov.
Yeah,
wow, I mixed up my Russian defenseman.
Years ago. Dmitry Orlov.
He takes Dmitry Orlov on a walk. Might as well call him a good boy, give him a treat, and pat him on the head because that was such a great walk he put him on. And then you go ahead and just roof it where there's no way a goaltender can save that. We said that he was going to get back to the mean. But did he have to do it so mean?
Guess so.
He's making NHL goaltenders look like jabronis because they can't save a shot that literally cannot be saved. They're just standing there with the glove and they just go, how did that go in?
How do Oilers fans feel about Connor McDavid?
That they're wasting him?
Well, besides that. Like, they get to, like, Oilers fans get to watch their favorite team play. And every game they watch, they also get to watch the best player in the world play on their team.
Difference is that the Sabres actually have competent goaltending and a winger.
Take all that out. I'm just saying, just the player in general. Just the player. That's the feeling.
I don't know what it is, though. You just described it to me. I don't know how it feels personally.
What you were just describing about Jack Eichel is how Oilers fans feel about what Connor McDavid is doing this kind of stuff on the regular as well.
Okay, I get that. But what I'm saying is this. It wasn't my question, personally. I just laugh. I laugh cackling like an evil movie villain because what he is doing is just downright cruel, and it's hilarious. That's my answer. That is how I look at it. If you ask me the question, that's what I'm just going to tell you is, man, I just laugh because it's hilarious and it's awesome.
But I'll bet you Oilers fans feel the same way about McDavid.
The thing is that McDavid was kind of doing it right away. Eichel, it wasn't all there. Like, he was getting the production. His seasons were robbed by injury.
Yeah.
And they have yet to make the playoffs under him. That'll definitely stop here.
Yeah.
But with McDavid in his second year, they're already winning a playoff round.
Yeah.
And McDavid's already won the Art Ross.
Like, and the Hart.
And the Hart. So, by now, they should be used to it. And it was almost like that right away. Whereas Jack Eichel was, it was there, but it wasn't all there. Because it's not just the offensive
So you're saying is how we react to the way Eichel's playing right now is how Oilers fans were reacting to McDavid in his first couple years.
Probably.
Makes sense. I can see that.
And it's, to me, still just hilarious. I'm just going to laugh like an idiot.
He's one of the best players in the world, and he's on our team.
Yes. I'm just going to laugh like an idiot.
He's the captain of our team.
Do I need to bring up the tank? No, not really. Eh, I don't care. Don't know why. It happened. Cares.
Yeah.
It happened.
Can't take it back.
Can't take it back.
No take-backsies.
Team's not taking it back. None of us are taking it back.
Nope.
No need to walk it back anymore.
Nope.
No need to bring it up anymore.
Nope.
Remember how I said sniff the glue?
Yes.
It's just ridiculous. And the worst part is teams know what's happening. Teams know it's coming. But at the same time, they don't know it's coming. The pass that he makes.
They know he's going to do something.
The shot that he rips in consecutive games where there's a foot to fit this puck in. And what's he do? He says, nah, man, I only need 7 inches.
They know he's going to do something.
Get out of here with this. Like,
but they don't know what.
He's making professionals look like idiots. And it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And you know it's coming. But at the same time, what's he do? He just goes ahead, sneaks a pass to Jeff Skinner, who didn't even know that was coming. Accurate that Skinner's able to grab it and finish off the shot.
So here's the thing.
Good Lord.
They know it's coming. They don't know what he's going to do, and they don't know when.
It just...
He could do anything at any time.
It's incredible. Yep. I don't know how the hell it happens.
And Skinner's just always in the right place.
Skinner's just hanging out. Reinhardt's hanging out. And they're all just like, yo, we got you. Let's back this up.
Yeah.
And someone said something on Twitter that I saw that I was like, wow. I cannot even imagine this.
Hmm.
And they said along the lines of, imagine if Eichel had a second center named John Tavares.
Man.
Kind of wacky, isn't it?
That'd be something.
It's not just that. It's that he gets, like, he doesn't get the luxury of teams going, okay, which line am I focusing on?
Yeah. He's the one.
That's a luxury that's given to Matthews and Tavares in Toronto.
Yeah.
Whereas in Buffalo, it's Eichel's line.
Mm-hmm.
Shut it down. Oh, wait. What do you mean you didn't shut it down?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Like, okay, that's the line. Skinner, Eichel, Reinhardt. Shut it down. What do you mean they have 2 goals? Well, try to outscore them.
What do you mean 2 of them have 2 goals?
What do you mean 2 of their players each have 2 goals? Can we outscore them? No. What do you mean no? Carter Hutton and Linus Ullmark are doing things. They're well above the league average of .907 in save percentage. What do you mean? So we can't even score either? No. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how the Buffalo Sabres are good. The end.
You have explained it perfectly.
I have boiled it down to a book for dummies.
We haven't even mentioned Rasmus Dahlin,
who came out of that weekend with 5 points.
Yeah.
5.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what's a shame? That Rasmus Dahlin has yet to score at home.
Yeah. He hasn't. It's weird.
It's a shame. Because you want to know what happens?
It's weird.
People probably give us a lot of a cheer for Dahlin scoring than they would Eichel or Skinner at this point. They'd probably rip it up. They'd probably rip the roof off.
You know what? He's saving it.
Saving it for what?
The biggest moment.
What, the playoffs?
Maybe.
I was going to say, what bigger moment is there at this point? This team is playoff bound, Frank.
Oh, I know. How about the playoff clincher? In overtime to clinch the playoffs.
Yes, there was also that, by the way, where Skinner didn't play in overtime against Washington. I was a little confused by that, but I'm going to let it go.
Yeah, I don't care.
I mean, why Housley chose that? Not sure.
I'm going to let it go because they still got the one, they still got a point, and two, they came back. They were able to rebound the next day and beat Boston. And they got 3 out of 4.
Yeah.
Like, so they got 7 out of their last 8 points.
Like, if you want me to try to read too much into that, I'm not going to.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
I'm not taking the bait on that.
If so, if it's becoming a recurring thing and they and they're starting to lose games because of it, because they could use a guy like him out there, then I'll start to question it. But if that's not the reason they lost, then I'm not going to worry.
All right, so now this, Frank. I want to play a little game with you before we go to the Bills.
Sure.
Okay? It's this. We're going to rank what teams we fear from least to most. So what teams do you want to play in the playoffs more than others? You ready?
Are we going by what the current standings are?
We're going by the current standings and just based off the probabilities.
Okay.
Okay? All right, so current likelihood is Toronto as the most likely.
Yes.
Based on the standings.
Yes.
As the Sabres and Leafs are fighting for 2 and 3, which really just means who gets a game 7 at home.
Or who gets the home ice advantage, mm-hmm. pretty much.
Yeah, who gets a game 7 at home?
It's serious. My name would go 7. That's the thing. You can't assume it. But the way those two teams are, yeah, I mean, it's very likely. You got the probability of it's high.
The Sabres seem to have a flair for the dramatic. What's more dramatic than a game 7?
This is true. That's true. All right, go on.
All right, here we go. Based on where the Metropolitan is at right now, current leader is Washington.
Yeah.
You're not going to probably see anyone else on top of that division, right?
The only way you play Washington
is wild card
is
one.
Wild card one.
Which, not far-fetched.
Not far-fetched, yeah.
So your possibilities are Toronto, Tampa Bay, Washington.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Not bad.
Not bad.
I mean,
there's a 1 in 3 chance that I'm going to get wrecked. Which, by the way, the team I least want to see in the playoffs is Tampa Bay. Let's start there. I think Tampa is just too complete, and it would worry me. And yes, I know. I get it. The Sabres are coming into the playoffs, and it's a great little story. But if you get me to the playoffs, I don't give a crap anymore. Win games.
That's the thing that
I get that I'm playing with house money. But, like, the Bills facing the Jaguars, I want it. Let's go.
Like that,
next round.
Like, that's the thing. You're looking at the probability of them winning a playoff series.
Yes.
It's higher if they play a team like Toronto versus Tampa or a team like Washington versus Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
And that's understandable. But that's why I'm on the boat of, I don't care. Bring me Tampa. I'm not afraid of them.
They're the only team I am afraid of.
I'm not.
Are they still the third one for you on who you'd like to see?
Oh,
most?
Yeah, they're still the third one for me, but I'm not afraid of any team. No team in the Eastern Conference right now scares me.
Tampa scares me because they
Tampa
play two
scares
games.
Me the most, but it's not as much. And that's but it's always the reason I say, once you get in, anything can happen. Tampa has shown that they can falter.
I do understand that. But
we saw it last year. They choked that series against Washington.
Yes,
let's
but it's
be
usually
real.
Against better teams. And are the Sabres that right now?
They can be. They can get there.
My problem is you've faced Tampa twice already, and you've not faced Andre Vasilevsky. Your win, you held on for dear life. Your loss was so intense that you could not go back in the next day and take down Florida. So Tampa does scare me. And I'm not going to be afraid
Tampa's
to admit that.
Tampa's a team that scares you, that scares us the most.
Tampa, like, I'm actually afraid of Tampa. There's no, after that, we'll get to after that. I will get to after that for me. But for me, Tampa Bay actually scares me. And they're probably the only team that does.
They're the only team that gives you like, ooh, they're going to have a tough time. But we've seen that they have shown that they can hang around. And that's all it takes.
They can hang around, but a seven-game playoff series.
Yes, we haven't seen them play Vasilevskiy. But in the two games that they've played Tampa, they've hung around.
Define hung around, though. They've been outchanced, outpaced, everything. Like,
but none of that. But in the playoffs, you throw everything out the window. All the stats are gone. You reset.
Yes,
you're back to zero.
There's one thing that I won't throw out, though. It's not a statistic. It's what I've been seeing. And what I see when I watch them against Tampa Bay this year is I see a team that's not on their level. It's not a statistic. It's my eyeballs.
Oh, yeah. It's the eye test.
I'm not throwing them out the window. but I'm still thinking that you're not on – and this is the thing. Tampa is on a whole nother level in the entire league. This isn't just about Buffalo and Tampa. This is Tampa with everybody else.
And funny enough, I have a stat for that. Statistics shows it still doesn't guarantee anything.
Guess what? You take that and throw it out the window, remember?
Yeah, you can throw it out the window. That means you could take them being on a whole nother level and throw it out the window.
I get that, but they're just not.
You saw that with Nashville last year.
They are on a different stratosphere, though. Even Nashville.
Oh, I'm not
but
down
even Nashville
that.
Won a playoff round out of it.
Yeah.
Are the Sabres Colorado?
Then they still had a tough time with it. It wasn't easy for them.
Yes, but still.
Colorado
gave them a series, yes. What did Tampa do to New Jersey last year? That wasn't a series. It was five games. Dumped them out of there. Six games for Colorado. Good for them. But what did it get you? Tell Colorado, what does that get you? It gets you a first-round exit. And that is something that I don't want when I get there. I don't want to be one and done. Get out of here with this.
I wouldn't like to be one and done, too, but if you're... I mean...
I don't want to be Columbus.
Oh, you're not going to be Columbus if you're that.
Well, I'm just describing
things
the term.
Things happen.
I'm just describing the term of being one and done in the playoffs in the NHL.
Sure. Well, sure. But it's as you said, too. They're playing with house money.
But just because you get house money... Like, this season... I'm now there. Like I'm
once
ready.
The playoffs start, the intensity will double.
Yes,
triple.
And that's what I'm saying. House money to me, you take them and throw them with your stats. Apparently, they go out the window. My mentality.
Well, Vegas showed last year that house money stays.
Ah. But that's my point. Is I'm cool right now. My house money. Is thrown out with your statistics. When I get to the playoffs, I am going to be angry.
I got one quote. To be the best, you got to beat the best. That's why I'm not afraid of Tampa. Because you know what? Even if they play Toronto in round one and they win that series, chances are they got to play Tampa in round two. You got to face them no matter what. Unless somehow...
over the wild card.
Yeah. In this case, it'd be Boston. They lose that. If they do that, all bets are off for the Sabres. They could do whatever. Anything can happen.
All right.
But no matter the way I see it, if they want any chance at possibly, taking this to June or to late May, they gotta play Tampa. They have to.
I get that. I'm taking
this
a step at a time, Frank. I'm looking at first round.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But at the end of the day, it still doesn't matter. Like, you're still going to have to face the best team no matter what.
All right, listen here, Mr. Inspirational. I'm trying to be just rational over here.
Let's take a trip. Real quick, before we move on to the Bills. Let's take one quick trip.
We haven't even moved on to who I want to see next.
I know. Okay. Listen.
Because you're trying to throw all this jargon at me.
Yeah. Okay. Quick trip down memory lane. The 2006 Sabres. We went to the Eastern Finals, lost to Carolina. Who was the one team that gave them the trouble all year? In their division.
It was Ottawa.
It was Ottawa. What happened?
Yes, Frank, I know that in the second round they beat Ottawa.
What I'm saying is,
what the Sabres won, they did it in five games. You want to tell me Buffalo can
I'm not saying they're going to do it in five games. I'm just saying, if the Sabres had any chance of taking this incredible season as far as they can, in this case the East Finals, they were going to have to play Ottawa.
I get that. But there's a
So that's why you can't be afraid of it when it's gonna happen, no matter when you really feels like it can happen, it's happened or it's gonna happen. Yes, Tampa is the team that you worry about the most. They are the best team in the league. They are likely gonna stay as the best team in the league until season's end.
But are they on that parallel though? Of that team in the 06 team? No. You wanna know why? That team could roll four lines.
Sabres. Yeah,
this team cannot.
I know
they cannot do it. This is a different. We are talking about a different animal here, Frank.
I know we are.
And guess what?
I know
one year after that team, they were a cup favorite.
Yeah.
And guess what? They lost to their boogeyman. But that's not my point. That's not my point. That's my point is this team is not that team. Do not put parallels to it.
I know it's not.
It is Jack Eichel, Jeff Skinner, Rasmus Dahlin, Carter Hutton / Linus Ullmark, and a bunch of guys. I throw Sam Reinhart in there too, because when he's not on that line, he's not doing the same thing, production-wise. I'm just saying, I want the first round. I don't need to go screaming for a cup yet. I don't need a trip to the Eastern Conference Finals yet. I want the first round. I just want...
I'm not afraid of what is going to happen, who they play in the first round. Whoever they play in the first round, they can win.
How's this? I'm not looking for a pint, but I'm not buying the handle either. Okay?
Okay.
You're going straight for that. You're going for the big one.
Bring it on.
Calm down.
I'm just saying is... Yeah? Keep going.
Man tits.
Okay.
I was just trying to think of the safest way to say it.
I know.
I'm saying, Mr. Inspirational, I'm keeping my stats with me. I'm not throwing them out the window because I'm afraid of Tampa Bay. That's my point. And it's technically kind of your point, too, because you would like to see them the least.
Yes, I would like to see them the least, but I'm at the same time, like I said, I'm still not afraid of them.
I get it. But you're a little afraid. You're more afraid of them than Toronto, at least.
They're the team that you were, but they're still the team you worry about the most.
They're the best team in the NHL.
Exactly.
If I could avoid them for a moment, that'd be great.
Yes.
And if they trip over themselves, even better.
Yes.
How's that?
Yes.
Thank you.
I agree with that.
So stop giving me this. You're trying to make me run through a brick wall, and joke's on you. There's no brick walls here. Okay?
Yeah, those brick walls are in net right now.
Good work.
Hey.
All right. So moving on to this.
All right, let's move on.
Further into this discussion, who would you rather see? Washington or Toronto? Seeing as how it took you 10 minutes to finally get to number 3 and move on. Both are fun series.
Both are fun series. I don't think you could pick one.
Oh, I could pick one.
I know you're picking Toronto. Because they have the weak defense.
Who are you picking, Frank?
I don't know. That's a thing.
I'm not picking. Ready? I'm just fine. You're not helping me at all in this segment. So I'm just going to move on.
Okay.
I'm ranking it as I want Toronto, but not on the analytical part of these things. Not on the reasonable part on these things. It's because I want Toronto. You want to tell me that the team that with grace and dignity? Oh, you want a revenge shot? There's your freaking revenge shot right there.
Yeah?
You give me one-on-one with those holier-than-thou media members in Toronto? Saying something about Phil Kessel liking hot dogs and running him out of town because he likes to enjoy what may or may not be a sandwich? who thinks that, who have the audacity to say Mitch Marner is better than Jack Eichel? Are you watching what's going on right now? Toronto media? No, yeah. You're not. You're blissfully ignorant because he's not north of the border. Oh, I want Toronto. This has no rhyme or reason. If Toronto was doing what Tampa Bay was doing right now, I'd be in the same boat as you. I would be that guy going, okay. Oh, I just want them. Okay. I want to crush them. I want to crush their souls, and I want to be able to laugh while they have their tears and just be able to collect it and just drink the saltiness. Put it on a cracker. Delicious. You wasted 10 minutes of my time to get to this. It's all here. I want Toronto. I want them so bad. I want to go ahead and say, hey, you signed that John Tavares guy. Would it get you one and done? Take that, biatch.
And I don't regret a single minute of it. Because
So thank you for allowing it to remain cooped up in my heart and in my soul. Because that is what I want. That right there is what I want. I don't care. Washington would be fun. It would be. We got evidence of that.
Yes.
Alex Ovechkin would be terrifying.
Yes.
Do not let them go on the power play.
Yes.
But I know that I can hang.
Mm-hmm. And it's because of how close Buffalo and Toronto are to each other. And
the hate.
Yes.
I've gone full Palpatine. The hate is flowing through me. It is here, and it is December, dude. I've gotten one game with them.
Yeah.
And by bullcrap, I lost by 2.7 seconds.
Yep.
Because Jack Eichel was awesome. He scored a couple goals in that game.
Yep.
But so did the other American guy.
Yep.
Which, oh, by the way, your best player is not Canadian. Toronto. How's that make you feel? You know what makes me feel? Like you shouldn't have got him in the first place, but you tanked with dignity. Oh, yeah. And you got Mike Babcock. Yeah. And you got the largest market in the NHL.
I can't wait for the Sabres-Leafs.
Frank?
I can't wait for it.
Frank, it's going to happen. If you want the most distortion in a podcast ever, game one of Leafs-Sabres might do it, because I might just be yelling the entire time.
Yeah.
If you want a lot of edits, or maybe even just to tag an NSFW on this podcast, game one.
Yep.
Or game. Say the first game that the Sabres lose in that series.
Or when the series.
That will be profanity laced.
When the series goes 7.
Thank you, Frank. Yet you decided to take 10 minutes on. Oh, you gotta beat the best to be the best.
I still don't regret a single minute of it.
You want to know what happens, Frank? What? Say they get to that second wild card and they end up in that problem. And they end up beating Tampa, like you're also inspiringly saying. Guess what you get then? You get Toronto.
And I still say bring it.
But you know what's fun? You know what's more fun than that? Knocking them out in the first round.
Or they lose in the first round and it's even funnier that way.
No, I want to be the hand.
Okay.
That takes them down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know we had Steve Dangle on this podcast, and it was a great interview and everything like that, and I know he's a Leafs fan, and it's not his fault, but oh my God, I want to give it to those snarky media members in Toronto, and those snarky, some of the fans are okay. Most of the fans are okay. But I want to give it to the snarky ones the most.
If the Sabres,
I want to cause the pain for Toronto.
Sabres Leafs meet in the playoffs in the first round or at any point. Can we get Steve on again?
Yes,
we're doing that.
Well, you've got to do that. You've got the contact.
I do.
Anyway,
make it happen.
My point is this: when they come down here to hang out with us for Bills games as a common ally, what do they get to bring up? Hey, remember how Jack Eichel scored 9 goals in your playoff series and you guys were one and done? 9 goals. That's probably what's going to take.
It might.
That would be, oh, so delicious. All right, I'm done.
Are you done?
No.
Okay.
I'm shaking.
He actually
is. It might be because it's cold in here.
Yeah, it is a little cold.
They might be running the AC instead of the heater. I'm not sure.
And he's not kidding.
I've also been in this building since 4:30.
That's true, too.
But I think we spent enough time on this.
I don't want Tampa. Washington's okay. But I want Toronto.
Okay.
And right now, if the season ended today, I'd get my wish.
Yeah, that is where I'm at, too.
I have to be careful of what I wish for.
Oh, yeah.
Toronto's dangerous. Very dangerous. They are a high-flying team that can do everything. They've got a solid goaltender in Freddie Anderson.
Yeah.
Yes, their defense is suspect, but it has been playing relatively well as a collective, as a five-man group on the ice.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you look at the goal totals, Buffalo and Toronto are kind of the same in goals against. The difference? They have two lines of superstar centers. And they can outgun you 5-4, for example, like how Buffalo lost the first meeting. And they can do it on a regular basis. And they can do it by rolling lines.
Yeah.
Can Buffalo do it? Yes. Does it depend on Jack Eichel and Jeff Skinner and Sam Reinhart to get most of the damage? Yes. Am I okay with it? Yes. I know picking Toronto means probably my second most likely first round exit. But I'm sorry. Here are my three options. The Stanley Cup favorite. The defending champions. Or the team that I would like to punt across Lake Erie.
Yeah.
I'm picking the latter. Because they're also the same team. Hasn't won a cup since 67.
Yep.
The other two? I've done it a little more recently.
Yeah.
I'll take my odds.
Okay.
Also, please get better, entire defensive core.
I have to feel like that they will, especially once they get healthy. McCabe comes back.
Yeah. When McCabe comes back, it's going to be much better.
Plus, later on in the season, defense is going to be a little more shored up, you know.
I mean, you're down to your 11th defenseman with Brandon Gouley and Matt Hunwick playing yesterday.
Yeah.
That's – to get 3 out of 4 with that circumstance?
With Beaulieu, Tennyson one game and Hunwick, Gouley the next.
And Beaulieu got hurt that game. Beaulieu's played much better.
Gouley got called up.
Yeah. But, like, honestly, well, no. Gouley got called up because Matt Tennyson could not play.
That's why Hunwick got called up.
Yeah. Well, Hunwick was going to play. He was healthy. He was going to play. Well, because Beaulieu got hurt.
But he still got called up
from Rochester. Yeah, he got called up from Rochester, but that was a conditioning stint.
Yeah, Gouley got...
The plan was they were going to put him up here.
Yeah.
The big thing was Gouley got called up because they knew they couldn't have Tennyson still out here tossing grenades.
Exactly.
Think about that. You went 3 points out of 4 when you have a defenseman tossing grenades to the other team.
Yeah. Yeah.
You still got a point out of that.
Yeah.
Against the defending cup champions.
One guy who has scored 7 goals in a matter of a week.
One guy who scored so many goals that he forgot that he scored against Buffalo. In his post-game interview, he said, well, you're not going to always score all the time. Dude, you scored in that game and in the shootout. What do you mean not all the time? What is all the time for you? Did that guy ask you if it was a hat trick that you were surprised you didn't get a third goal? That terrifies me. Is he still drunk?
Probably.
It's the greatest drunken stupor of all time. Because now he's back with, what, 28 goals in 30 games?
He's got
29 and 32. And this was when he had the greatest bender of all benders.
The bender hasn't ended.
I guess not.
It's amazing.
It is. All right, Frank. Awesome. Should we get you know what? Can we get the stupid thing out of the way before we talk about the Bills?
Sure.
All right, let's get the stupid thing out of the way. Pick'ems. How bad did we do? It got off to a not great start because Kansas City lost.
We tied.
Okay, that's great, but how did we do?
We each got 6 wrong.
That's actually a lot better than recent weeks.
9 right.
And with a Monday nighter tonight.
Yeah.
Not bad. Actually a solid week, a winning record for each of us.
Yes.
All right, then. That's not as terrible as my 6 win last week. That was gross.
All right, real quick. So no Thursday nighter.
Good.
2 Saturday night games. First one is Washington, Tennessee.
I'm going to take the Titans, even though continue to just prove that they haven't beaten anybody.
Yeah, and this week they get to face frauds. Josh Johnson.
They looked like frauds this past week.
Yeah. And this week they get to play Josh Johnson.
Josh Johnson.
All right.
Wow. The Jaguars next game, lost to that.
Interesting game. Yeah, they did. That's funny. Interesting game here. Baltimore Chargers.
Possible playoff? No. Both would be wild cards probably because Baltimore's still a game behind Pittsburgh, right? Or are they still a half game behind Pittsburgh?
Like a half.
Could be a potential playoff
Could.
Game. Because the Chargers are the
Chargers
five.
Chargers did help their case by beating Kansas City.
The Chargers are the five.
Oh, yeah.
That's just going to be undeniable because I don't think the Chiefs are going to cough up their top seed.
They are tied right now, right?
No. They're still a game up.
That's right. That's right.
They're still a whole game up, which is terrifying. And division record would also go to the Chiefs anyway.
Yeah.
So, the Chargers are locked as the five. Against the Ravens, I would like their chances collectively. Lamar Jackson has been fantastic for them so far in his limited time this season as a starter. I think the Ravens make a game of it, but they don't come out on top. I'm taking LA.
I do too. I think that way. If they meet in the playoffs, that'd be pretty cool. It still really could happen.
Yeah.
Baltimore could pull out the division.
Yeah, they could pull out the division and then be the four seed.
Exactly.
If I'm Pittsburgh, I'm terrified of L.A.
Yeah. Cincy, Cleveland. I can't believe I could be confident and say the Browns.
Oh, yes. This is going to be Hugh Jackson revenge game part two. And by that, I mean Cleveland getting a revenge on Hugh Jackson again.
Exactly.
I told you, since he's not winning anymore the rest of the season.
No.
Hugh Jackson's on the staff.
Cleveland's still in the run. Not only for a playoff spot,
For a playoff spot, it's very minute, actually. It's like they would need the Colts and the Titans to lose next week and then tie in week 17. Because in a three-way tie scenario, that is how they would get in the playoffs. They would also need two other teams to lose out in Baltimore, and I think...
Pittsburgh.
It would have to be... Who's the other team that's still in the running then? Miami,
yeah.
Yeah, so you'd need either Pittsburgh or Baltimore and Miami. Oh, and the Colts and Titans have to lose next week and tie in week 17. That is literally the only way Cleveland makes a playoff.
Or just lose both games.
They can't because they face each other in week 17.
Oh, that's right. Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah, but...
Cleveland's got a really stupid stipulation to remain in playoff contention.
But they're there.
You want to know what happened, though, that really put the blow into Cleveland's hopes?
What?
New England beating Pittsburgh. I mean, New England not beating Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the death blow to Cleveland. The Patriots.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick trolling Cleveland all along. It was the long con.
All right, next game. Tampa Bay and Dallas.
I'm going to take Tampa here. Dallas is kind of on a slide. Tampa Bay is surprised at moments this year.
I'm going to take Dallas.
And I think it would just be hilarious if Dallas just suddenly lost control of everything.
That would be hilarious. I don't think it'll happen against Tampa, though.
It would be peak Jason Garrett.
Oh, absolutely.
But it could happen against Tampa.
It could. I'm going to take Dallas. Dude, they held a close one.
They kept up with the Saints in their most recent meeting, and they beat the Saints in week one.
I know.
You want to tell me Tampa's not capable of randomly doing something?
I'm going to take Dallas, but I like to see that.
I'm going
to
take Tampa because I want to see it.
Yes, you do. Also,
I avoid picking Dallas.
Vikings, Lions.
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
I don't think I have Georgia's to deliberate bad. Much.
Nah. Giants, Colts.
Colts. Why did I take so long on that?
Yeah. Jags, Dolphins.
Jacksonville's not winning anything. As much as I would love for the frauds in Miami to continue to be as such, Jacksonville's just...
Well, I want it to happen.
You want it to happen, or do you think it's going to happen?
I think it's going to happen. I'm taking Jacksonville.
Well, you do that. You pick the Jaguars. Have fun with that.
Miami's hopes of making the playoffs dashed because they couldn't beat Cody Kessler.
I think it'll come down to several other things, but Jacksonville's not going to be the death blow. It'll be the Bills.
Packers, Jets. I'm going to take the Jets.
The fact that I have to think about this is the sad state of what the Packers have become this
year.
Yeah. I'm going to take Green Bay. Because my biggest... they're on the road.
It is. It's a road game.
I'm not going to like it, but I'm sticking with it.
Okay.
That's not good.
Houston and Philly.
Houston. Philly officially has their run end here. It ends now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you could have done for us, Philly? Could it be Dallas?
Yeah.
That would have made your job easier.
All right. Carolina, Atlanta.
Carolina. Atlanta just continues to find ways to lose games, even though they found a way to beat down the Cardinals.
Well, the Cardinals. The
Cardinals are also not a real team.
This one's going to be a massacre, speaking of the Cardinals.
Oh, no.
They play the Rams.
What a perfect way for the Rams to get back on track after losing two in a row for the first time this season. That's a great way to get back on track.
Yeah.
They don't look like themselves right now. What better way than lowly Arizona showing up?
Yeah.
Fix your game. This is the great way to do it.
Bears, Niners.
Bears.
Oof.
Ew.
Ew. Saints, Steelers.
I'm going with the Saints there. Pittsburgh is, quite frankly, lucky that New England looks like trash right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they could have been looking at a real slide.
Seahawks, Chiefs.
I'm going Chiefs. It's really just hard to go against them at this point. Yeah, they lost to the
really
Chargers,
but
the Chargers
is.
Also
Chargers are good.
Impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a Sunday nighter too. That's gonna be I think that's gonna be close.
Mm-hmm.
Monday nighter. Kind of trash. Because it's Oakland and Denver.
Well, I'm just going to pick not Oakland.
Yeah, not Oakland. Definitely not Oakland. All right. One more week after this of regular picks.
You forgot the Bills-Patriots.
Oh, yeah, Bills-Patriots. We have to. We know who's going to win.
I mean, yeah, but at the same time, no.
Yes.
But yes, but no.
You know what's going to happen.
No.
New England's lost a couple in a row, and now they play Buffalo, and now they're going to get back on track.
Tom Brady's the only quarterback this season to have thrown for 300 yards against the Bills' defense, by the way.
So he's going to do it twice.
Probably, but it just – it was almost something that you could have seen as unreal.
Yeah.
Like an entire season of not allowing a 300-yard passer. Oh, wait, Tom Brady. Damn it.
The fact that one guy did it is pretty impressive.
Yeah, but I still hate him because
obviously,
he still ruined it.
Obviously, but if you're gonna let one guy do it, because you know that's
just what
he does.
The Bills did hang around in this whole game with Derek Anderson at quarterback.
Yeah, game's probably gonna be close.
I'm doing it. I'm picking the Bills. Automatic L.
You doing it?
Yep.
Okay.
I bet I can beat you with even this automatic.
I like to see it.
You took an automatic. You picked the Jags.
I know. I like to see it. All right, we got to wrap it up.
We didn't even talk about the Bills.
I know. Being day one.
Allen looked solid from the pocket.
Yeah.
Detroit was like, you're not allowed to run it.
And he's like, oh, I'll throw it.
Maybe you shouldn't have spent 10 minutes on this whole inspirational garbage about facing the lightning.
It's all right.
I'm blaming you.
Would rather talk about that?
Well, I guess we're going to go a little heavier on the Bills on Friday. Blame Frank.
Okay.
This is the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank Curry.
Blame that guy. Thanks for listening. And as always, it's on demand at WGR550.com. Sabres have a couple before our next one. And three for the week. Is it a couple or is it just one?
They play Florida Tuesday.
Florida Tuesday.
And then I don't think they play.
Oh, it's Caps Friday and
Caps
then Saturday.
On Friday.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay. Forgive me on that one. They get one before our next one. So we can be Bills heavy.
Yeah.
It's like Frank planned this all along, except he didn't.
Go Sabres.